me, if you would, this morning to Matthew chapter number 6. I tell you or convince you that we're living in wicked times because we understand the wickedness that is around us. You don't have to go very far to find wickedness in our communities, even small communities like Madisonville and Hanson and Seabury and Slaughter's and all the little communities around our area. If you go very far into those communities, you'll find there is much wickedness and evil in our society. And by the way, you don't have to go looking for it. It's just there. It'll find you. And so the Lord said to His disciples, He gives them an appeal to deliver us from evil. When we pray, we are to be praying that God would help us with this present evil world in which we live. Now we understand as believers that when we got saved, we were delivered from evil. We understand that we were delivered from the power of sin. No longer did Satan have power over us. We had been delivered. Thank God for salvation, a delivery. And that's what salvation is. He delivers us from wickedness. He delivers us from the very power of sin. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. The Bible declares that we are dead in sins and trespasses. But now, through Jesus Christ, we've been made alive. And so we've been delivered from that penalty of sin, which was death. And thank God, one day we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. One day we'll be ushered out of this world, and whether it be by death or by rapture, we will be out of the very presence of wickedness and sin that abounds in this world. That means that evil is always out there. That means that God knows where the evil is and that He can deliver us from that evil. The Scripture tells us that we are light. Therefore, the world that is in darkness hates light. And darkness cannot comprehend it, cannot even understand it. Because we are few, the world hates us, and they think they have an advantage over us, but we have one that can deliver us from evil. We have one that has already won the victory. We're just wearing out the time, and we're setting out the time, and using the time that God has given to us, and we are seeing the Lord work and seeing things happen and come together. And when you hear of all the things that are taking place worldwide, it makes me understand and should make you understand that Jesus is on the horizon. I mean, He's coming, and I believe He's coming soon. I heard yesterday, I've heard a lot of things this week that just let me know once again that the Lord's on His way. We had there's one country in the European Common Market that had to sign a treaty in order for it all to work together, that economic community would work as it's supposed to, and they overwhelmingly rejected it just a few months ago, and they overwhelmingly accepted it this week. So a vast turnaround in that particular country. Then I heard this morning about the threats of war and the Iranian threat of nuclear weapons and what Israel is going to do and how that's going to stir. And every one of those folks that was on the being interviewed this morning on the news was they had different ideas about certain things, but they all came to the same conclusion. And that conclusion was is that we're headed for war. Well, my Bible tells me that. I don't have to have some news commentator tell me that. My Bible tells me that. But we're seeing it work out before our very eyes, and we're seeing how God is manipulating countries and bringing up kingdoms and destroying kingdoms and setting things up just as He said He would. And so therefore we realize that as God has promised, so He will deliver. Well, He has promised to deliver us from evil, and thank God one day He shall do that. And so we find that as the devil wants to defile us and discourage us, he wants to destroy the child of God, I find that the Lord is going to deliver us from that. He's going to give us victory over these things. And the Lord understands and knows, and He knows how the attack is approaching. He knows how the problems are before us. And so therefore, we just need to depend upon the Lord. And we need to pray as Jesus instructed His disciples, "Oh dear Lord, deliver us from evil. Help us. We have been delivered in those two aspects, but there's one that is coming, that we shall be delivered from the very presence of sin." Sometimes the Lord lets us know where sin is. Sometimes He reveals to us and we can see that is a place that ought not to be. Sometimes He shows us and gives us direction and warns us as to where evil is. A good example is that's found in the book of Genesis chapter 2. When He told Adam and Eve there was all the trees of the garden they could partake of, but there was one tree. And He told them what it was. He told them where it was. He said, "In the midst of the garden there is a tree, and it's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And He said, "Don't partake of that. Leave that alone." So He showed them, He warned them where evil was. But there are some times that we don't know where it is. Sometimes evil lies out there in wait for us, and we must trust the Lord either to deliver us or to protect us and to help us in every place beholding that evil, looking at that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good." You can rest assured God knows where the evil lies. You can be assured that God knows where the good is and where the evil is, and He can direct my path according to His Word and according to His way. He can help me with everything that I do to direct me around evil or away from it, because He knows where it is, even though I do not necessarily know everything about it, but God does. So we find this morning in this verse of Scripture that the Bible says, "Lord, deliver us from evil." First of all, I believe we need to consider these evil days that we're living in. We're living in terribly wicked, evil times, and we are to understand, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to take care of our time because the days around us are evil and are wicked, and they are come upon us, and we certainly don't enjoy them. I personally despise what I see happening around me. I loathe the problems that are upon our country. And who would have thought just a few years ago that we would be where we are today? Who would have thought just a few years ago excuse me, that we would be in a position where we are right now, and the evil days are upon us. Lord, deliver us from that evil day. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, the writer says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not." Thank God for young folks, and thank God for children, that before evil days come upon them, they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Solomon says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh." There's that days, those days of innocence upon children, and they don't experience all the wickedness and sinfulness of the world, and the Lord can reach down in their heart and can save them. And the Bible says we all have to come as little children as unto the Lord. Thank God for little children that do come to the Lord and have the presence of God in their heart. And God can deliver them from some of those evil things that lurk out there that would do harm and destruction to their life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We know that perilous times are here. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." These are wicked, evil, ungodly times that we're living in, but thank God He can deliver us. I don't have to succumb to that wicked, seducing spirit. I don't have to fall under the spell of wickedness and ungodliness. I don't have to follow the things of the doctrines of ungodliness and the doctrines of devils and demons. I don't have to do that. Why? Because I've got the grace of God in my heart and the salvation that is given to me, and I can pray, God, deliver me from that. And I believe He does and believe He can. Seducing spirits, that's a strong word. There is a spiritual world out there that we do not see. There is spiritual battles out there that we do not know about. There is that battle that continually rages for the souls of men and women, boys and girls, that we don't necessarily see. But the demons of hell are actively working to make sure that our children, our grandchildren, and those of our family, they're doing all that they can, and the devil's doing all that he can to make sure they don't hear, and if they hear, they don't believe. Oh, dear Lord, deliver us from evil. The seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. There's a lot of people religious, and a lot of people have a form of godliness, but they have been seduced by the wickedness, and they literally believe doctrines of the devil. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now that son of perdition, that man of sin, is none other than the Antichrist. Now he'll not be known. I know there's a lot of speculation, always has been, but the Antichrist will not be known until the believer is raptured out of here. Then he'll be made known. Then he'll be made manifest. He could be living today, but he's not known as that. He could be alive and active in some of the political forces in the world and in the background. He could, I don't know that, but we're certainly living in a time that he could be living and that he could be on the scene. They're clamoring for all the problems that are taking place in the Middle East and of course have for centuries. All they have to have is somebody come on the scene and say, I've got the remedy how we can take care of all that. And I heard the leader of Israel just a few years ago, he said we would literally sell our souls to the devil if we could have protection of our land. I heard that with my own ears. You know what they'll do one day? They will literally sell their souls. And they'll sign a peace treaty. And they'll think they'll have peace. That's the son of perdition. That's the wicked one that comes on the scene. Sin is rampant everywhere. We don't have to labor that point. Why is it so obvious? Why is sin so pronounced? Why is sin so open now that used to be in the dark? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because there's no judgment against wickedness, men think they get by with it. And if they think they get by with it, if I did it then, I can do it again. If I live this way now, nothing's ever happened to me. I've heard people say that. I've had people tell me, and to my faith, I've lived this way for years, nothing's happened to me. Because sentence is not executed speedily upon them, they think they get by with it. But there is the judgment of God that one day they will face. That's why sin is rampant. That's why I believe as a nation, crimes ought to be judged and the sentence ought to be speedily given. The rapist and the child molesters and all the other crowd out there, they get by with it. And so somebody else said, well, if they get by with it, I can. If they can do it, I can. And we see it everywhere. And so sin is rampant. It's running wild. I find also that sinners are very religious. They're still sinners. 2 Timothy 3:5 says they have a form of godliness, a form of it. Thy form is like a shadow. If you pour concrete, you have a form that you pour by. Now, the form is not the strength. The form is not what you want. The form is just what will give it to you. It's like a shadow. It's something that will be there. So they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And God says, from such turn away. Stay away from ungodliness. Stay away from wickedness. Sinners are religious, yes, but they deny the power of God. Our churches across our country this morning are filled with religious sinners. And I personally believe Baptist churches are filled with religious sinners. They've signed their card, but they haven't had anything sealed in their heart. They've prayed a prayer, but they've not accepted a person. We've gone through the motions for years of doing all these things, that's religious activities, but it hasn't helped us. In the late 60s, or 70s, early 80s, I mean, things was going wild, going strong, and movements were all across our country, and religion was everywhere. But in the 90s, they started selling out their buildings and going broke because they couldn't pay for what they'd gone out and foolishly done. Wasn't led by God. All the hoopla and made salvation just a game. My friend, salvation is not a game. Salvation is a serious matter between a man that's lost without God and needs a deliverance and a God of heaven that's holy and righteous. And God, in His grace and infinite mercy, comes to that individual and brings light to him and awakens his spirit and his heart. It's more than just coming down the aisle and saying a prayer. It's more than just popping your bubble gum and rejoicing and saying, well, now I'm going to heaven. I've done all I'm supposed to do. Salvation's more than that. Somebody said, preacher, you preach a hard way. It's hard to get saved. No, it's not hard to get saved. It's hard to get us where we want to be saved. It's hard for us to understand and for us to believe that we're sinners. We don't want to accept. We don't want to do what God says do in order for us to be saved. We need to understand God's righteous. He's holy. We're unrighteous. We need to understand that the wrath of God abides upon a sinner. I don't hear too much of that in our churches anymore. But there's a wrathful God that abides upon the sinner as he sits without God and without hope, and the wrath of God abideth upon him. And if he dies in his sin, the wrath of God will fall upon him. Salvation is a serious matter. But sinners are religious. And saints are reviled. We're mocked, we're made fun of. We dealt with this last Wednesday night concerning the valley of persecution. We are hated. John 15:18 says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It hated him before it hated us, so ought not be too concerned about that. Oh, dear Lord, deliver us from evil days. Secondly, deliver us from evil men. Evil people and their evil works. I'll put those two together. Deliver us from evil men and their evil works. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Here's the Apostle Paul. You would think Paul would have everybody on his side. Sure, that's why he spent most of his time in jail. He was a troubled person from the world. And here he calls out an individual man, Alexander the coppersmith. He did me much evil. Now, Paul goes on, and I wouldn't want Paul praying about me like this. He said, the Lord reward him according to his works. I wouldn't want Paul to say that about me. I wouldn't want the Apostle Paul to pray to God, give him what he deserves. evil men, evil works. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith." Not everybody's like us. If you haven't figured that out yet, not everybody's like you. Not everybody's like me. If you haven't figured it out, not all churches are like Grace Baptist Church. Not everybody has the same spirit. He says here, "But the Lord is faithful. Oh God, deliver us," he says here, "from unreasonable and wicked men. Men that have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." The Lord shall establish us, and He shall keep us, and keep us from evil. 2 Corinthians 1:8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, but that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Well, that's a telling verse there of Paul's life. He says here, "I don't want you not." He said, "I want you to know my trouble." Paul had trouble, yes. And he says to the Corinthian people, "I don't want you ignorant of our trouble." And here's what it is: we were pressed out of measure. Have you ever had people press you over and you just seem like the pressure is going to get a hold of you and you're going to explode because of pressure of wicked, evil individuals and wickedness around us? Paul said, "We were pressed above measure. We were pressed above what we should have been." Then he goes on, "Pressed out of measure, above strength." He said, "I couldn't handle this more than I could bear. Insomuch," Paul said, "even that we despaired of life." Paul said, "We got to the point, it's been better to depart than it was to stay here." At one time, Paul said, he's ready to go. He said, "But it's better that I stay here, better for you if I stay here." Lord, deliver us from evil men and their evil works, like Alexander the coppersmith. Matthew 5:11 says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Jesus said, "You're blessed when that happens." We think we're cursed. But He said, "When they shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, they lie on you, they cheat, they do what they can do to get you to lose everything, and they're doing all they can do to hurt and harm you," Jesus said, "Blessed are ye, if you do it for my sake." Oh, but Lord, deliver us from evil men. Deliver us from evil men's works. They speak falsely against us, even their tongues. Malicious words, the Bible says, 3 John, "Wherefore if I come, I remember his deeds which he doeth, panting against us with malicious words." John said, "I know his words. They were malicious, critical, tail-bearing, backbiting, lying, slander." That all happens. Dear Lord, would you deliver us from evil? Would you help us in this world in which we live? James says that this tongue that's in our body is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. It defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and that the tongue is set on fire from hell. That's pretty strong words about this little member of our body called the tongue. Song children say, saying, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, ears, what you hear, mouths, what you say." Lord, deliver us from evilness. From men around us and their works and their tongues. But I believe probably more importantly than maybe all these others, this last one: Lord, would you deliver us from my own evil flesh? That's where I live. That's who I live with. This flesh. Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Let me read that verse again. That's Romans 7:18. Y'all turn there, underline it, and put a star by it, because it explains the pressures that we have. I've got it written down, but I'd just rather read it out of my Bible. Romans 7:18. In these verses, Paul is dealing with the strife of two natures, saved, spiritual nature, and sinful nature. Paul comes to the conclusion in verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh." This old body of flesh that we carry around with us, Paul said, "I understand. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Boy, that puts us in our place, doesn't it? Most people say, "Well, I'm not that bad." I've had people tell me, after a service, preach on sin. I've had people say, "I didn't feel like I was that bad." I've knocked on doors and folks say, "I'm not as bad as you say I am." "No, but you're as bad as God says you are." And Paul says, "In this flesh dwelleth no good thing." That means no good thing. In the flesh. He goes on and says, "For to will is present with me." I want to do good. That spiritual nature that is within me desires to do good. He says, "For to will is present with me." But then he said, "But how to perform that which is good I find not." I just don't know how to be good. I've had boys tell me here at school, "I just don't know how to be good." I mean, they get in trouble all the time, and I've really had them say, "Brother, I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to be good. I can't be. I want to do good. I don't want to be in trouble all the time. I just don't know how to be good." Well, they've learned a big lesson there, more than a lot of adults have learned, because Paul says, "I don't know how to be good either." He said, "I don't know how to perform it. In my flesh, I can't." Romans chapter 7, on down just a few verses. Paul says, verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Lord, deliver me from my flesh. O wretched man, who shall deliver me?" I'm telling you, the only one that can deliver us this morning is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our deliverer. "My flesh dwelleth no good thing." Your flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh, we have nothing, nothing, nothing to offer God. That does away with a lot of religion today. Because religion tells you they have a spark of divinity and all you got to do is feed it and it'll light up your life. Well, there's no spark. And there's no divinity. The only thing that's in my flesh is darkness and death and sin. In my flesh dwells no good thing. I want to do good, but I don't know how to perform it. That's why I thank the Lord one day Jesus came and died on Calvary. For in His flesh He did all good things. For in His flesh there was no wickedness. There was nothing wrong. There was nothing amiss in Him. And so therefore He could take my place on the cross of Calvary, that when I couldn't, He could. When I can't, He did. And He delivered Himself for me and for you. Oh dear Lord, deliver me from evil. As was stated a while ago, I had a birthday yesterday. Well, in about 6 weeks, I got another birthday coming up. Now, on October the 3rd, 1951, a doctor delivered me into this world. I was born. But on November the 15th, 1959, I was delivered from evil. That's 6 weeks from today. And God delivered me from evil. He saved my soul. He made me a new creature. And He made me realize that when I can't, He can. He made me to know that what I couldn't perform, He'd already performed it. He'd already satisfied all the demands of the law. And He says, it's settled, it's finished. Thank God this morning. When Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this manner. And He ends up with, deliver me from evil. May God help us to be delivered spiritually, to be a child of God, but also to deliver us physically every day of our life from the wickedness and the ungodliness that's around us, that bombards us. God bless our children. I'll tell you what, they are bombarded everywhere they go. You can't even turn on the radio. We used to talk about television. Radio just as bad. These little old boys and girls that are growing up, these teenagers that are growing up, they are bombarded continually with evil. And it's accepted as common. It's accepted as the norm. And the world wants us to accept all wickedness as normal. It's just that's the way it is. No, He can deliver us from that. Thank God He can. Thank God He does. Let's stand this morning. Deliver us from evil. May the Lord help us to be delivered spiritually and physically from that which is wicked and evil and sinful and ungodly. That He would help us to serve and to live for Him. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The old Puritans that came to America, the older generation of our founding forefathers, they understood that. They understood there wasn't anything good in them. You read some of their writings, you'll know they understood it. And today, our authors and those that we read after, they talk about the good things and the prosperity things. Someone asked a very prominent preacher if he ever preached on sin. He said, I preach everything positive, nothing negative. That means he doesn't preach anything. And he'll smile from ear to ear. And he'll make you feel good and happy. But if you'll listen to his message, he does not preach. May God help us to stand for truth and righteousness and say, God, deliver us. I think our deliverance is around the corner. What number, brother?